entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
It's not working. Siri, look for the O Mary Radio Show on LA Talk Radio.
Sorry, I'm not sure what you said.
Were you ever in a production of Oklahoma?
It's time for the O Mary Show here on LA Talk Radio with Miss Mary Kennedy.
And Mr. Paul Jason.
Indeed.
Hello, Paul.
You never answered the question. Were you ever in a production of Oklahoma?
I was not. Ah. I played a sister, cousin, aunt, and sailor in HMS Pinafore. I did.
Thanks, Mayor.
And the pants didn't fit right, and it was very depressing.
Oh, honey.
I know. It was very... Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, so we're
Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks. You brought me really, really up. Here we are, folks. Today is Tuesday, July 17th. And
2 days after my birthday. Thanks, Mayor.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to you.
And
happy...
thanks to everybody on Facebook.
You interrupted me singing a song.
We know how to end.
Okay, done. All right. Happy birthday. July 17th, folks. It's Tuesday, 7 o'clock. And who do we have in the studio, my friend Paul Jason?
The movie people.
Movie Guys Live.
Movie Guys Live.
We have Karen Volpe and Paul Preston.
Yay!
And
hi, guys.
And they're here, and I'm going to bring up their mics. Hello, kids.
Hello.
And basically, we're going to talk to them about movie trivia.
And what they do.
And what they
sure.
do.
I just want you to know, I played Ada Wanny in Oklahoma.
Did you?
Yes. Yes, in my 30s, I did that.
So fun. It's
fantastic.
A wonderful show.
Sure, certainly.
You've never told the story on air of why you do that intro of Oklahoma. You can tell them. I'm fine with it.
Are you sure, Mary?
Because she doesn't like me anyway, so we're totally fine. Go ahead. Tell them the story. Warm them up.
It's a lovely story. We were very fortunate. One of our guests was George Chakiris, who won his Academy Award for West Side Story. And George was sweet enough to invite us to his hand and footprint ceremony at Grandma's Chinese Theater during the day. And then we came back for the red carpet event that night. So we got to stand and interview people as they came into the theater. And here comes Shirley Jones.
Partridge Family, right? Paul, Partridge Family.
Certainly. Do you remember? Yeah, but Lori.
But Lori,
yes,
from Oklahoma.
See, okay.
So I'm whispering into Mary's ear because I have a couple years on her.
Now, let me tell you something about Paul. And I don't know. You two are married. Paul Preston and Karen Volpe are married. So you may have the thing. Paul is kind of like my security earpiece, especially when I don't know old Hollywood stars. I know Shirley Jones from The Partridge Family. I had no idea about Oklahoma. Go on. Continue.
So I said, as she's, and you know, Shirley still sings all over the place.
I did a show with her just last year.
See? She's lovely.
She's
wonderful.
Very lovely.
I actually had a phone rapport with her from another job. Mm-hmm. So I said, it's lovely to see you. And I mentioned my old boss. She said, yes. And then Mary goes, did you ever do Oklahoma?
I know. Cringe. It's fine. Cringe louder, Karen.
She didn't just do it. She
I know.
Was
she, yeah.
I know.
She,
I know.
She did the
she
movie.
She was Oklahoma.
You know what?
She did it so anyone can see it anytime they
ever.
Want,
ever.
Every day.
Thanks.
Ever.
Did you talk to them before the show? Like, did we prep them?
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
So,
I'm sorry, kids.
And Miss Jones.
Sorry, Miss Jones.
Tilted her head ever so slightly back, like. Yes, I have.
Why?
She was very gracious about
Why,
it. And
yes,
I'm like,
I have.
And by that time, I could see Mary, the back of Mary's neck red all the way over her ears.
Because I only knew her for Partridge Family.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, stepped in way up to her hip and just.
Yes, so
and I
sorry.
Sort of just let her slide.
Oh. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. But
so that's our in joke. There you go.
There you go.
See,
we shared it.
It's perfect.
So the main movie guy is Mr. Paul Preston.
Yay. That is me.
Mm-hmm. And we took this from your press person. Paul's brain is hardwired to the movie screen for film trivia facts and 24/7 sensory overload from the entertainment mecca of the world. Paul serves up a cerebral take on what the world's greatest industry is dishing out.
Ooh, delicious.
That sounds great on paper.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, it sounds odd when you say it.
Really?
but yeah, it's more or less true, I think.
I think what it means is his mother always says if he had used the knowledge he can use for knowing all the directors and cinematographers, if he'd use that towards math and physics, he'd be a doctor.
Yes. I was the D in use his time wisely
yes.
on the old report cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
he could memorize
not from where I was coming
any
from.
Any director or cinematographer, but he can't tell you his times tables, you know, not when he was
now
a kid.
The question is, because you guys are married, does he remember how to take out the garbage and do the laundry?
Yes. He actually does that. Probably because he's seen someone else do it in a movie. So
right.
I'm sure that's why.
I watched a lot of Joan Crawford. I'm on it.
You're on top of that.
Yeah.
So basically, I have to say what I'm... Now, are you both, and correct me if I'm wrong, now you are a You are of the Second City, Paul Preston.
This is true. And
yes,
Karen.
And we both study there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I have great respect for Second City.
We do too. Mm-hmm.
And there's two, and I'm not gonna disparage the other one. There's another improv troupe in town. And there's another one,
there's
too.
There's more than one, Mary.
There's
yeah.
more than one. Mm-hmm. I have great respect for Second City because I feel like it's based in acting. I really do. I feel like it's based in acting.
As opposed to going for a joke. Do you know? Yeah. They teach you the basics of improv, and it doesn't always have to end with a joke blackout.
Well, I agree that there is definitely a system that I only know of two of the schools, because we did go through Improv Olympic as well, mm-hmm. and there's a system there where they don't necessarily teach you writing, but they teach you writing on your feet. Mm-hmm. So you're able to do a half-hour show without actually scripting it, mm-hmm. and Second City does take you through all the stages of writing. However, I do believe the Groundlings has a writing school as well, but I don't know that firsthand. But to go even further into your Second City love, because I love the Second City, I think that the Second City in Toronto, where we originally studied, is even better than the one in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And that really focuses on character development into sketches and into writing. And that's where my favorites, like Dan Aykroyd and those guys, came from. Mm-hmm.
So you guys are from Canada?
Buffalo, right on the edge.
My husband's from Buffalo.
And we loved Second City so much, it was worth driving 3 hours up to Toronto once a week to take a class up there.
And you had to... Did you have to show your birth certificate and your passport?
Not back then.
No.
As a matter of fact, we were given a little information that when you go to the border and they say, what are you doing? Don't say, I'm going to take a class, because then it becomes a whole, are you a student? Mm-hmm. We would just say, we're going shopping. And you
move along.
You can go through any border.
Is that the droids you're looking for?
If you're going shopping, I love it.
My favorite show on television, and we will get back to this, but this is what I do. It's stream of consciousness. I have two children. This is the only time I can talk to adults, so excuse me.
Lay it on.
And now you're talking to us.
I'm talking to you guys.
Hey.
I will tell you, the only time that I was held in a foreign country against my will was Canada. And I'll tell you the story. I was going to do a comedy festival. Okay, I was in Calgary International Airport. I was going to Saskatchewan or whatever.
Saskatchewan.
Whatever
Saskatchewan.
It is. And all I know of that is that Elmo did a huge thing on Sesame Street about that place, and there's horses. That's all I knew. So I'm in International Calgary Airport, or Calgary International, and we'll get to that's not funny because there's a lot of airport stuff. And I was held against my will because I told them I was a comic, and they thought that I was taking money out of their community. Literally, these two officers, like Reno 911, interrogated me. It's true. In a room, asked me to do jokes, told me to pull out my headshot. It was frightening. It was not funny.
Oh my gosh, was there a camera? It sounds completely
there
boring.
Was no camera. When I got out with with minutes to spare to catch my plane, I got out because the lesbian Reno 911 officer thought I was cute and didn't need to hear the jokes and sent me on my way.
Wow.
Well, honestly, how threatening can they be when they're saying, yeah, you know, we need to hear a joke there.
Say something funny, eh? Come on there, comedian.
See? So, I mean, you know.
I don't know that I've heard
I've been
that story
to Japan.
Before.
I've been to London. I've been, you know, to Mexico. Never.
Well, I think comics are suspicious. And I think the Canadians are onto something. So
we are a little suspicious.
We are a little odd. Yeah.
Honestly, anybody who thinks that making jokes for a living...
I'm telling you, it's a little shady.
It is a little shady. But no, I was not stealing money from there. It was just for exposure.
Did you explain to them, I'm a comic. I don't get paid.
Well, that's true. And for that gig, it wasn't.
Yeah. So they pay us in drinks.
They pay us in drinks. So movieguys.net. Explain. So you were in Second City, and are you still doing Second City out here? Pretty much you are, because you're performing more Movie Guys there.
It's we do the show there currently, yes, because we're alumni, and they were... very accommodating. So
nice.
Yeah, we've been there for over a year, and they're always very good to their alumni. They try to help to have you be seen, and also you come back and you can work with the students who are there currently. The whole idea of doing it at the Second City sort of happened slowly, though, because we tried to do the show at the Improv Olympic, and that worked out fine, but it just seemed like that environment wasn't conducive to sitting and listening,
because
I had a bar attached, and so everybody was drinking and being loud, and that's fine, but our show is more cerebral. You do have to kind of listen to get the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
So when
we
got to the Second City, it's more of a listening environment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to like an improv space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. And they've recently redone it. That's well, what you say, right? They redid it.
Remodeled.
They done made it over. And yeah, and it's
they're from Buffalo.
It's a rather sexy stage setup now.
So. Even better.
Yeah, it looks
I've not been in.
Oh, it's really nice.
It's right there on Hollywood Boulevard, like not Cherokee, further down. Right.
Between Cherokee and Schrader, yeah,
right,
near the
right,
Toys
right.
and Costumes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, if you're going there to buy your hooker shoes, just to the left.
That was me.
That's right.
That's right.
So then you just go upstairs.
Yeah. Yes.
So basically, you provide every movie junkie's daily fix of cinematic crack.
That sounded good, too. Did you write that, Paul?
Yeah,
Preston?
This is all straight from the press.
Mary's on it.
What happened was a couple of years ago, in this town, you always have to make your own opportunities and do something that features who you are as a person. God forbid you act and be somebody else. You just got to figure out what your thing is.
Exactly.
And then just go with it.
It's your hook.
You got to figure out your hook.
Right.
His hook was knowing way too much about movies. So at that point, I was like, well, he always every year would do this rant about all of the Oscar-nominated films, and it would go on for 21 pages, and he would email it to everybody we knew. And I thought, gosh, if we only could make money from that. So I encouraged
Still
him.
Still waiting on that.
We're trying.
So what was your first date like with him, though? Was it all movie
we went
talk?
We went to a movie.
We went to Soap Dish.
No surprise there.
There it is.
What did you see?
Soap Dish.
One of my favorites.
A pretty good movie. Made all the better by being our first movie together.
There you go.
It was fabulous.
And what a great movie for him to go to. See, that's a catch.
Oh, totally. Because, you know, there are probably other real loser movies out at the time. What else would be out?
Or real great ones, but I couldn't have taken you to Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Yeah.
I went to Titanic with a guy, and then he broke up with me right after. I was the ship that went down.
Written on the seas right there.
Yeah.
I don't think you could have done anything about that.
Yes. So as you were saying, sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, yes. But anyway, so then I encouraged him to start a website, and then you could take it from there.
Yeah, and then the website turned into a podcast, which turned into radio appearances here and there, which turned into this monthly show. So you come see our show. We preview all the movies that are coming out that month. And we don't have the mojo to go to advanced press screenings or anything like that yet, so we see the trailers like you guys do.
And then we make fun of them.
Yeah, and we just goof on them. We have fun with Hollywood. They can take it, you know.
And we're hoping that someday they can't take it, and they come and they find us and get mad. That'd be great.
Magic Mike.
That'd be great press.
Magic Mike.
Magic Mike.
Are you guys going to do anything on Magic Mike?
We did. You know, the great thing about a Channing Tatum movie is if you don't like the one that you're seeing, you can just go next door and check that one out.
You can just go see the next one.
He's in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
He's quite prolific,
It's another in the grand string of Steven Soderbergh retirement movies. He claims he's going to retire, but he just keeps putting out films.
He and Cher.
Cher, it's like the Kiss Farewell Tour. It's like the 20th anniversary of the going out of business sale for your local mattress joint.
Yep.
What's kind of funny is that Matthew McConaughey, we always tease that he takes his shirt off in every movie.
He's gorgeous.
And he's gorgeous. And he does take his shirt off in every movie. But what's so cool is in the past he's played policemen and firemen and EMC. You know, he plays all these kind of guys. But in this movie it's perfect. Because he can play a pilot and a sailor, and then he just takes his clothes off.
There it is.
See, it's all come together.
Yes, but don't tell him those are standard stripper costumes. He thinks he's showing range.
That's brilliant.
Well, no, I love this because now I got to tell you, hopefully you may laugh at this.
I hope so.
Well, you know, I'm batting 1,000. So here's the story. I was at an AFI women's luncheon.
Ooh.
Women directors. I know. All right. And we were all sitting around. How I got here, Paul, I have no idea. And we all were sitting around at this lovely restaurant. We were talking about, it was the year that, is it Blood Diamond?
Oh,
yeah.
Great film.
Fabulous, right?
Yeah.
That was the year, right? Mm-hmm. And we're all sitting around, and I had not to see it yet, you know. And I was like, all right. So we're talking, and they got to me, because it was sort of this round table discussion. And they got to me, and they go, you know, Mary, what kind of movie do you find riveting? What's your type of movie? And one way to be funny and also to sort of cut the tension in the room, because everybody was talking about Blood Diamond and every women political movie out there, I said Sorority Boys. I said, that is my type of movie. I enjoy it. See, Karen knows. She's got my back. She left.
There's no reason you shouldn't go see Boys Be Cute. Guys do it all the time.
But the American Film Institute's Women's Luncheon?
Good Lord. Well, they need to loosen up a little.
Yeah,
because
a little steppy.
You can only... What do they always say? That in order to enjoy one kind of happiness in life, you have to see the sorrow in life. So you have to see both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to see Naked Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see Blood Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm with you.
You ever get a political argument on Facebook or at lunch or on the phone or anywhere? Wherever you you just suddenly your friends are leaving and and just it's a horrible thing and you're being called names. The movies, you can argue, you can all have different opinions, and who gives a who cares in the long run, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's a great thing about them. You know, you have your opinion, you love what you love, and then they'll just keep making them, so hopefully there's more coming out that you're going to love. And as long as they keep coming out, we'll keep goofing on them.
So what's your favorite kind of movie, Paul?
Favorite kind of movie? I don't know if that I have a genre. My favorite movie of all time is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
There it is.
I mean, it is the action film that was done so high-end on every level. I mean, the great acting, great special effects, brilliant score, outstanding story, action unparalleled. Well, perhaps. Nowadays, they're really trying to catch up to it. Those Terminator movies, et cetera, have great action. But I just think it's the greatest. And then, and also, I think it benefited from seeing it as a kid. I loved it then. And then, as I grew into loving movies, I realized the sequels are all kind of goofy, but that first one is a really good film.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
It really
is. And it's from...
You enjoyed it?
Raiders of the Lost Ark? You bet I did.
Yeah.
You bet I did. I did.
Really? Paul has me see things like The Bad Seed and Mommy Dearest.
I'm trying to train Mary in some classics here.
Well, because after that, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, All About Eve.
Just saying.
She was actually riveted with All About Eve. I'm so proud of you.
I loved it. And what's your type of movie that you like?
Well, my favorite movie ever is Ghostbusters. And it's the perfect combination of sci-fi and comedy. The comedy is so strong in that movie, and it holds up. There's also some magic about the fact that they're in a time period that's kind of always feels like it's now, even though it's years later. So it doesn't really seem outdated, even though they use all sorts of crazy meters and stuff that, you know how when you see an old computer now, you just kind of go, horrible computer. But even though you see a little bit of that technology, it stands up and the comedy is so strong. And Bill Murray owns that movie.
Loaded with Second City folks.
Yeah.
Rick Moranis, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis.
So, but go ahead, Paul. You have a question. I'm not going to talk anymore.
No. What's your favorite movie, Mary?
My favorite movie? It was...
Oklahoma.
No. I have two, and it shows that I'm kind of geeky. Well, not really. Maybe I'm a gay man. I don't know. I really enjoyed Stealing Home with Mark Harmon and Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that movie. I know. It's
jaw-dropping. I'm like, really?
I really enjoyed that movie. That was one of my faves. And the other one that I really enjoyed was Yentl.
You know,
I loved it.
I love that they're so diverse.
That's a great double feature.
That's
Yeah.
I loved Yentl.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did not know this about my comedy Betty. Well, there you have it.
I loved Yentl. I used to pretend as a kid I put a scarf on my head. And I used to sing.
You want
to
be a cross-dressing Jew? Is that what's
going
on?
No, wait. I confuse the shows. I'm sorry. The one where she's on the boat.
She's usually
funny
screaming
girl?
On her butt.
No, it was Don't Rain on My Parade, right?
Yeah,
that was Yentl. No.
That's Funny Girl.
That's a great movie.
At the end of Yentl, she's singing.
She's on a boat with a
piece
scarf.
Piece of Sky.
Oh, piece of Sky. That's what I was
getting. She's on a tugboat in Funny Girl.
She's always screaming on a boat.
She's on a boat.
Front, back,
You know why? Because when you're on a boat, everything looks smaller.
It is.
I'm just saying.
And then the Papa Can You Hear Me moments in the trees.
I'll hand it to Streisand as her first directorial debut. She did a really great job.
And then The Mayor Has Two Faces. I'm a blonde. I always thought it was the sequel to Yentl.
Put your head down on the desk. Put your head down on the desk.
When I was young, I thought it was the sequel. I don't
Put
know.
Put your head down on the desk. Be quiet for a
New
moment.
New York.
Rest.
So anyway.
I'll cut some slack and maybe Paul can back me up. That's right about where I got bored with Barbara Ugly, Barbara Pretty. Because we do that in every one of her films. But there was a moment in Mirror that has two faces with Lauren Bacall that I thought was wonderful when Barbara says to Lauren, what was it like? Lauren Bacall has such a wonderful moment there because Lauren Bacall was beautiful. And they just let the camera stay there for a minute. And Lauren Bacall goes, it was wonderful. It's my favorite moment in that movie because you can see her whole career roll right by her.
Right.
You know, and I'm a Barbara fan. Yeah. Part of it's genetic, but you know, a camera can't creep up on her. She's an anteater at the best. So having come from that and looking at Lauren Bacall, you know, you like, it's a wonderful, same thing in Titanic, nice gay movie. Yeah, it's a big, big gay movie, but that moment where Gloria Stewart turns over the mirror and looks, and the last time she looked, she was 20. It's my favorite moment in the movie.
So what's your favorite movie?
What's my favorite movie? I have two.
See? Gentle and Stealing Home.
No, side by side, The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, all right. Classic.
Mm-hmm. And Ordinary People.
Yes. Ordinary People.
1980.
Robert Redford.
And Robert Redford's directorial debut and won an Academy Award for it. Because Mary Tyler Moore turns in a performance that is just... Have you ever seen it, Mary?
Oh, no.
It may be on the list.
Write that down.
And maybe three, Sunset Boulevard. Because it's such a almost perfect film.
Yeah, William Holden, one of the great actors, because he made it look easy.
Yeah.
Him and Paul Newman. Yeah.
So as a child, Paul, what were you... Were you hanging out with kids, or were you in the dark watching television and films? What were you doing?
I think in my hometown there was a nice combination, because there was one theater, but there were two theaters. So once you've seen them, you go back a few times, but then you can go hang out with your friends. And things weren't coming out on VHS right away.
Right.
VHS. So that was a little bit down the line. So when my dad took me to see Star Wars, I had to relive it through the trading cards. You know, so I go out and get the trading cards. I'm like, oh, that's when Obi-Wan Kenobi turned off the tractor beam, and everything was crazy. But then to see it again, you had to wait till it came around again. Mm-hmm. So I found ample time for both. Yeah, nowadays, when you can watch a movie on your phone, I can't. Mm-hmm. I would get nothing done if I were a kid.
Me too.
And the cheating I would do in school, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you, I think this is. We had the Warwick Theater in Marblehead, Massachusetts. We had the small theater, and you remember because there was only one show.
Right.
And it was three times that you could see it. And, you know, at night or whatever, on the weekends. And you have those moments. You remember not only the movie, but you remember the theater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where you were. I remember seeing Footloose in that theater.
Oh, Footloose. Mm-hmm. So fun. I love that movie.
I do too.
Not the remake, but I love the original.
The original?
Yeah, the original too.
So great.
There's no remake that I'm aware
There's
of.
There's no reason to do that.
No, there is. They're in production.
No, there isn't. Yeah. Actually, it already came out. But see the splash it made?
That's how amazing
See how much it was needed?
You have no idea.
Yeah.
Oy.
It slunk away
in horror.
See
how much of a call there was for that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, exactly. So, and then you have audio. You have audio interviews with Hollywood big shots.
Oh, well, a friend of mine in New York has, gotten some interviews with some folks. And we're currently looking for more out there, Hollywood big shots in the world who want to talk to us.
They're all afraid. They're like, are they going to pick on us?
And we've done some stuff in print as well with filmmakers, indie filmmakers and actors as well. So, yeah, you can find that stuff there.
I have to tell you, did you go to Dances with Films?
I have not been to Dances with Films.
We were fortunate. A guy that I worked with as an editor years ago brought out his first film. And Mary and I were thrilled. And you should see it if you get a chance. He may do another. It's called Fuzz Track City.
With Mary guest Dee Wallace as the star.
Dee Wallace, he managed to get his script to her, and she said yes. And he wrote it and directed it and wrote some of the music. And it's a wonderful wink to the detective films of the 70s.
That's
cool. And it's set here in Hollywood. And it's brilliant. And I also like to watch independent film. My other thing, and I was noticing that, was it you, Karen?
Uh-oh.
That I love going to community theater. For a couple of reasons. Part of it is I'm a bit snarky.
I wouldn't say Downey Civic like opera is community theater.
Well, here's the trick.
Go ahead.
All right, here's the trick. So all those shows that I did, which is interesting, they have three equity contracts. Mm-hmm. So usually the leads are equity, so is equity. Mm-hmm. I did Funny Girl there. Mm-hmm. And what's so great about it is I had this opportunity to do this amazing part. Even I didn't know I would be able to do so well. And by the time I got done, I had these great reviews, and now I have all this great audition material, and people know me for it, and thank God.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you're in the show, you just have to remember that everybody there is at different levels of their career.
Absolutely.
And so you encourage everyone to do their best, and you just look forward and don't judge, and it's a wonderful experience.
Absolutely.
Because there are people there that are right out of college, just like I used to be, trying really hard, right? She likes to encourage the people in the community to come out, and by doing that, she gets more ticket sales. It's brilliant. Of course, you want the dentist to be in the show.
Absolutely.
So then you get a great group of people trying really hard, but if you focus on that, you might get nervous.
Yeah.
You just have to go, all right, what am I doing? And do your best, and it all falls into place. My friends, actually, when they come see the show, they enjoy the audience almost as much as the show.
Absolutely.
They always say, oh, my God, you're doing another Downey show? I got to go down there and all those people. So that's fun.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a lot of people opening candy?
Oh, there's candy. There's to people's – my favorite, I was doing – it was really close to the stage. They had these little side stages, and I was doing something with Nick Yarnstein. I was doing the really fast song where he's hitting on me, and so we're right there, and it's very intimate. And this old man's earpiece, when they're deaf, they can't hear it beeping because it needs a new battery.
Right.
So it would get louder and louder, and then the woman next to him could hear it, and she's like, turn that off. Now they're having a conversation. He can't hear. She's yelling to him, you got to turn that.
Nice.
Oh, it's fun.
Sounds like it gigs really, we've done, Paul.
It's really fun. But then at the same time, you get to do this part that is
absolutely
just so fun. It's worth it.
And it reminds me of Soap Dish.
It really is.
That
like
great
the best.
Scene in that movie where Kevin Kline is doing something in Florida for a bunch of old people who just talked during the movie. You're doing a nice job, son.
He's doing Death of a Salesman.
Death of a Salesman.
People can't hear him. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
off to Providence. What do you say?
What'd he say?
Providence!
Rhode Island!
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. I'm so glad you guys liked it. It's one of my favorites, too.
And so the other folks in the cast. So you guys, is it the same cast all the time? Paul Preston,
no,
Karen Volpe, Adam Witt, Lee Caius?
Lee Caius,
yes,
Adam and Lee are aboard
too.
All the time. We had auditions recently and picked up another girl, Kristina Rowiter,
okay,
who also does theater around town. She's doing The Music Man up in Simi Valley.
Delicious.
And she plays with us now. And then we have rotating guests all the time. Yeah, it's tons of fun. We had Chris Gorin recently, who does something called Pod Crash. He's like a big pop culture movie guy who was on G4's Attack of the Show
now
and then.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, and he wrote a big book on film festivals, so he joined us once. And then we have other special guests where we can get him. We had someone who was a WWF diva on our show recently as well.
Isn't that funny?
Which was fun.
Well, we needed to have her because both Kristen and I are of normal female size when it comes to the female parts, but we were reviewing Piranha 3DD. So we looked down and thought, we need to get a little help in that area.
Specific kind of actress was required.
Oh, and I think I saw that video on the website, and she fulfilled it.
She
was funny.
She was a very good actor in that.
Shelley Martinez, show. I should say.
She was great. And we also have a lot of times he'll play with us, Stoney Westmoreland.
Oh, yeah.
Who is so great. I know the show isn't on anymore, but he was on this show called Huge about those big kids in like fat camps.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. It's such a cute show. But I think it was ABC Family or something. Mm-hmm. It's gone now. But he does a lot of stuff, and he's on our show a lot.
Well, and you guys are sort of all sort of rotating as working actors, and you can do this, and you can. I mean, we all do that, and I think it's great. I mean, you were on my favorite soap, General Hospital.
Yes, I was. Yeah.
What did you play, Doctor?
I played a male nurse once, and I was told it's the first male nurse in the history of the show.
Wow.
And the show had already been on about 25 years or something, and it's hard to believe, but. Apparently that's
what
they
say. You have a kind face.
You have a kind face.
I had to break up a fight. Kind face didn't matter so much. I had to run in and throw Diego off of Martha or whatever. They were arguing about something.
She's in the hospital bed.
He was trying to kill her naturally. So.
See? I love it. Well, and we want to play a game with you. We did this last week with Bruce Valanche.
Oh, how fabulous.
And he was on the phone.
Oh, I just want to tell you real quick. When I first moved to town, you know how you drive along and you see famous people?
Mm-hmm.
My first celebrity driving a car sighting. Bruce Valanche. He was behind me in a little Isuzu like trooper, but he is so recognizable that I looked at my rearview mirror. I'm like, that has to be. And then the next one saw Fabio. So I went from one to the other.
Wow.
And the first one I ever saw was the little person from Twin Peaks. Also, can't miss him. But he was in my rearview mirror. I'm like, that's the guy. I mean, it's just the guy. It can't be any other guy. So.
Well,
and how is he driving?
Yeah.
I have to do a little gesture. Can I? And then we'll go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was with Paul. We were driving on Hollywood Boulevard. Paul does not like my driving.
Oh.
He likes to drive usually, but he let me drive because I'm a Boston driver. Who is stalled in the middle of Hollywood Boulevard?
Lindsay Lohan.
No.
Better.
What?
He's got a lovely little bike.
Motorcycle.
Stalled motorcycle. Little, like, I call it it's awful. It's the sort of, it looks like a Nazi hat, which is so horrible.
It's a helmet, Mary.
Well, but it looks, so anyway, he's in the middle. He's got this thing. Gorgeous, and I'm like, oh, he's very cute.
Robert Downey Jr.?
No. We stopped Hollywood Boulevard by the DSW shoe place.
Oh, yeah.
Eye to eye, who do I see?
He turns and looks, and Mary, it's literally like eye to eye with...
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, cutie pie.
And I was about to stop the car and go help him. Not sure what I would have done because I don't know anything about cars. And then the big ass behind us beeped, and I had to move it along.
Ryan Reynolds. We were in Ohio. Paul and I were in Ohio probably about 9-10 years ago, and we were driving back and forth between Chicago and Ohio. I don't know what we were doing. But anyway, we had to convince a waitress there at this restaurant that Paul was not Ryan Reynolds. She wouldn't believe us.
Really?
And she wanted an autograph.
See, I would have gotten a female out of that.
Isn't that funny?
I've looked like him, and then he got super shredded, and now it's just impossible to look like him.
I was going to say, I can see there's... See, I get Richard Dreyfuss. So.
Oh, certainly. The eyes.
Yeah. I used to get Ellen Barkin.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I get that girl from Blossom, so you're doing all right.
Which I like Richard Dreyfuss better than Rip Taylor. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So,
we named our dog after Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Did you?
Dr. Marvin.
Dr. Marvin.
Aw, that's so cool.
So we have a game that we still need a bumper for. Well, what else? I need a bumper. So
you need a bumper. Okay, don't yell.
Oh my God. It's a game. It's called That's Just Not Funny. We take news articles and we talk about them and we create jokes around them if need be. And we just talk about the funny news articles of the day.
And so what's the object of the game, Mary?
Do we win a prize?
You don't win a prize. You just tell jokes.
Okay.
Just
to make people laugh. That's fine.
Wow. Okay.
Here we are. This comes from Odd News from UPI.com. Here we go. Delta Airlines confirmed Monday what appeared to be sewing needles were found in sandwiches served on 4 flights from the Netherlands to the United States.
Oops.
The airline based in Atlanta said one passenger was injured after biting into a sandwich, but declined medical treatment from paramedics after the plane landed in Minneapolis Sunday. The Wall Street Journal reported the sandwiches were served to business class flyers traveling from Amsterdam to the United States.
Because it wasn't coach.
No. 2 flights were to Atlanta, 1 to Minneapolis, and 1 to Seattle. Delta is taking this matter extremely seriously and is cooperating with the local and federal authorities who are investigating. Paul Jacek, former flight attendant.
Yes, may I help you?
Steward. How?
Steward.
How could this happen? How could needles and sandwiches happen?
Well, I'm sure they went back to whoever's catering, like Sky Chef, and I bet people have lost their jobs over it because all of that stuff is bad news. Either that or it's a terrorist plot, and I'm not even kidding. So there's way far-reaching. Although it's just not funny, the first thing that it did go to business class because those poor people in coach could die from lack of food from Amsterdam. They're probably bidding on the bread around the needles. They're just, no, did you eat that part? No, really.
Can I have that little piece of fermented turkey?
Yeah. So, and they were $15 a sandwich. So
I was just going to say nobody could really afford that. Yeah, so it's nice to have a little extra
something
in there.
Yeah,
a little metal. It makes it seem like you're getting something for your money.
Well,
you know?
Eat that 1%.
Yeah.
Well, but back when I was growing up, sometimes you got like a drinking tumbler in laundry soap. So now actually you get sewing things, in your food. So it's a little something that Delta likes to do.
It was coming from Amsterdam or?
Amsterdam to the U.S.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I was surprised it just wasn't pot.
That would have been much.
Here's the deal: that those meals could have been loaded in Atlanta.
Really?
Those meals could have been loaded in Atlanta for the return flight. Because all of those flights, no airline makes any money if the plane's on the ground.
So how, Paul?
Yes.
How?
Yes.
Oh. I'm a big food person, if you didn't realize that. I love food. And for me, if I had a sandwich that had needles and I was on a plane, I'm the type of person that
we would be on the ground in 15 minutes because you'd be screaming and standing on your seat.
Because I need to have snacks around me at all times. There was one one commercial I did with no craft service. Oh. I went to places in New York and got craft service because I could not stand the fact of not eating every 2 hours. But that's a whole other show.
Yeah.
So the catering, somebody sat there and literally put needles into the sandwiches, or was it like, is it on an assembly line?
Well, it's probably somebody as opposed to, I don't think like a terrier went, let's do this.
those terriers.
But I'm talking assembly line sandwiches, because when you get them, they're pretty vacuum packed. Uh-huh. So if the sandwiches were going through sort of an assembly, could the needles be a machine failure?
Well, certainly. Maybe someone was knitting some socks or something. Right.
Darning a few socks while they're throwing the turkey together.
I just think it's a reach
Swiss
to go to
turkey needle. Swiss turkey needle.
Do you understand what I'm saying? They come. If anyone's, you've been on a plane recently.
Sure.
And if you get the snacks, they're really vacuum packed. I mean, it takes literally like you need a chainsaw to open it.
It'll be interesting actually to follow the story to see.
Okay.
And they were the little, I'm assuming just like the little regular sewing needles, not like bigger needles of any kind.
I don't know that they meant.
Because my mom always used to tell me, and this made me crazy, she would always say, don't run around the house in your bare feet. You could step on a needle. As if that was the worst thing that could happen, because eventually it would go up into your heart, is what I think.
Burrow its way up
through. It would get into your vein, and it would make its way.
Oh.
Wait a second.
Yes.
No.
Uh-uh.
This the spokesman. Now wait a second. Now see, I'm like Nancy Grace, investigative reporting.
Oh, there's probably a baby.
The spokeswoman said, beside the one passenger who found a needle. We're not talking needles. We're talking one needle.
Then, no, it was a crazy sewing person who found her own needle.
Either that or she planted it.
Yeah, to get just because she couldn't find a roach. Mm-hmm. She's like, I want a free sandwich.
That's
I have a needle.
Yeah.
All right. See, we solved it. See what happens here on the O'Meara Show. Okay.
Well, I hope that he really brought me down with a terrorist.
Isn't that bad?
I hope it was just crazy. Crazy lady want a free meal.
We are declaring jihad. Grab the number 10 needles.
It was Martha Stewart. She was just like, oh, I really don't want to pay for this.
I'm going to stitch this sandwich together.
Okay. This one I like because I'm a homeowner. Anyone else? Homeowners?
Renter. Sure.
Home renter. Okay.
Oh, I have a home. That's right.
So this comes Colorado.
Yes, as a matter of fact, my home state.
A woman fined $200 for dry grass and drought, again from UPI.
Denver.
Denver woman said the Homeowners Association, HOA, is fining her $200 for having brown spots on her yard amid drought conditions. Lori Worthman said she has been trying to get her grass to grow, but her attempts have been unsuccessful and the city has declared a stage one drought and imposed watering restrictions. I'm glad to reseed again when it cools off, but we're in the middle of a heat wave, Worthman said. However, the Green Valley Ranch Homeowners Association wants her to pay the $200 fine for failing to make her grass grow. We would much rather have her fix the problem than collect the fine, Association President James Tanner said.
That's not true.
If your house looks like trash, then it's going to depreciate the value of everything around you. That's what an HOA is, to establish and maintain property values.
Well, exactly. The problem here is the Green Valley Ranch doesn't want to change its name to the old dry, bristly, crappy looking ranch.
Exactly.
And so they'd rather just tell this woman to water her damn lawn.
Well, have you ever been part of a homeowners association?
Yes, I try not to.
No. Oh.
It sounds horrible.
You know,
it's bad.
It's condos. You know, they have these homeowner associations, which is usually people who are currently perhaps retired.
And they have nothing to do except bug you.
Nothing to do except walk the property.
Uh-uh.
And so
I could not handle
it. And find fault.
And because I know a friend of mine who, he had just bought this condo, and this little lady literally walked with a cane. And she rapped with the cane on his door going, these pots are not authorized.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. He had put regular terracotta pots up to the three steps to his front door. And he said, authorized. He goes, we have a whole handout you can get at the office of the approved pots that you may use. And I'm like, they did the same thing at Auschwitz. So that's the homo. Really, it was bad.
And so, I can't have people have an opinion about my life if I bought something.
Yeah.
When you have to step off. You can't have
an
opinion.
And there's, in the middle of a drought, you will be fined a lot of money.
Right. I think all those other people should be fined by the state or the city.
I might lose my good manners and say, well, since I would be fined, why don't you urinate in one spot and see if you can take care of that for me?
Well, now you guys rent.
Mm-hmm.
And so so you don't have an HOA.
No, thank God.
Yeah, it's tough. We had creepy house coat lady in our HOA.
Yeah.
And she stole my chimes off my
We don't even
balcony.
Have owner. We have building management company, and they're great. So, we have no one breathing down our neck.
Oh, nice.
Which is nice.
We
delicious.
Actually used to live in apartments, and it got to the point one day where we're done. We looked at each other and said, we are done with people being involved in our life. So then we moved out and rented. But you have to finally get away from those people who have an opinion about stuff that's really not their business.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because I like to relate things back to film and television. Did you see the X-Files episode that took place in the suburbs where the folks who were like an HOA were suppressing trash so much that just trying to make sure it wasn't anywhere to be seen in their cul-de-sac that it eventually all the trash was pushed underground? And it all formed this trash monster, which came up and wreaked havoc on the cul-de-sac.
I love that.
It was great. Yeah.
This could happen in your own.
It's happening next door.
I think it's in Scottsdale. Have you ever been to Scottsdale, Arizona?
I can't know.
It's the cleanest kind of
Celebration, Florida.
Yeah.
Stepfordy.
That's what I was thinking
really
when he said
Stepfordy.
Yeah.
The asphalt has no cracks. The sidewalks are perfect. The green grass goes right to the
But end. Your sandwiches have needles in
them. Yeah, it is. It's bad. And it's all, you know, one spa after another.
Exactly. So, yeah. See how the see improv artists, see? Comics, we
Hello.
All
Hello.
All right, here we go. All right. This is the last
this
one.
This is my favorite.
That's just okay. not funny. Now, I picked this. Now, Paul does a thing called gay judgment.
I can't Anyone? Imagine.
What? No.
He does.
Mary,
no, I don't.
not yet.
No,
don't get that out there.
But no, he does gay judgment to me. He
she terms it that. I'm just offering a little practical sense to this
yes,
woman.
No. All right, here we go. Hold on. I gotta. All right. Jonah Falcon. Man, what an awful last name for this story. Man with world's largest penis, adult content, frisked by TSA at California Airport.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Why would you not do that?
You know, I usually stop and ask for a cavity check.
If I had a giant penis, I would always say, I need to be patted
right
down.
Over here. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, straight men.
Not so much.
You don't like when another man touches junk.
What?
Right? You're not, unless you're at the doctor's office, you don't want a TSA, another man touching your junk, right?
Well, there's a trade-off. If you want the, not
yes,
the kind you think,
continue.
Paul. Not the kind yeah. you think, Paul. If you opt for the pat-down.
Yes.
Then
yeah.
you're bypassing the X-ray where they're going to take a photo of your junk. There's a lose-lose situation going on there.
If I had big junk, though, I'd want everyone to touch it.
I guess I would put a photo of it. You know.
If you were Matthew McConaughey, you'd be like, look at my
Hello.
Junk.
Hello.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he does.
It's true.
So there you go. So
he's a good kisser too.
Oh.
Stop. I love that.
His wife is expecting again. Let's not.
Of course, because
yeah. Can I tell you how many married?
Okay.
Never mind.
So here we go.
Terrible rumor.
Turns out it's legal to have a weapon of mass conception at the airport.
Stop it.
I know. This is not my writing. This comes from us from Huffington Post. Jonah Falcon was stopped and frisked by the TSA at the San Francisco International
at
Airport.
San Francisco? I forgot about that part. I love SFO.
On July 9th, because of a bulging package Woo-hoo! Hidden in his pants.
But how did he get through the Castro?
But the 41-year-old New Yorker wasn't packing a dirty bomb, needles.
I was going to say, he didn't have needles.
Drugs or a Costco-sized tube of toothpaste.
Stop it.
No. The New Yorker says he has the world's largest recorded penis.
Which New Yorker?
The New Yorker. The
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
Joey Benjamin.
Mayor Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin.
That's funny. Now, listen.
John Travolta.
Exactly. Ooh. In an exclusive interview with the Huffington Post, Falcon described his hard times with security guards.
Stop
I love
it.
That you said hard times.
Stop it.
After his extra carry-on became suspect.
Oh, who wrote this?
This needs...
Adriana Huffington wrote this.
Oh, she totally did.
This needs to be
Fashion
a fun.
Of news.
I had my stuff... in quotes, strapped to the left. I wasn't erect at the time.
Stop it. Whoa,
said Falcon, whose penis is 9 inches flaccid.
Oh my god.
13.5 inches erect.
How does he walk?
One of the guards asked if my pockets were empty.
How does he think?
And I said yes.
Oh.
Falcon said he knew that his interview was about to get a lot more personal when he was led through the X-ray body scanner, see, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Preston, and passed a medical metal detector.
Ting, 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 ting,
ting, ting. Falcon said he... another guard stopped me and asked me if I had some sort of growth, Falcon said.
Oh, absolutely.
Indeed, he did have growth. Now, listen, and I'll read this and then we'll end. By the age of 18, Falcon knew he had something special when his manhood reached a whopping 12 inches. His family jewel was hailed as the world's largest on record after an HBO documentary. The fact that his parents even contacted them makes me, poor kid. So he was featured in 1999 in the Guinness Book of World Records. Stop writing.
I was going to say, look that up, Google. Real quick.
Falcon has been contacted by porn companies.
I bet.
Hello.
And as he passed through airport security, Falcon said a younger security guard felt threatened by his very noticeable package and interpreted as a biological threat.
Wait, what? How? This is not news. That, this is ridiculous.
I said,
the Huffington Post.
I
said, in quotes, it's my dick, Falcon said. He gave me a pat down, but made sure to go around my penis with his hands. They even put some powder on my pants, probably a test for explosive. I found it amusing.
At least he has a good sense of humor about it.
Well,
this is his solution. We're all in the solution.
All right.
I'm just going to wear bike shorts from now on, Falcon said. That way they'll know. You'd think the San Francisco TSA would have had experience with hung guys before, but I guess not. Ding, ding. Adult content on the O'Mary Show. Mm. Are you going to call him and ask him for a date, Paul Jacek?
He's a straight man.
Well,
is he a straight man?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
Is he a porn
star? I will be checking out the HBO special that his parents have signed him up for.
So that's...
And I want to know that conversation at breakfast. Right. Hi, Jonah. Your mother and I have a little way to get you through high school. Yeah.
We know
and
that college is expensive.
Exactly.
So we don't want you paying for it when you're 40.
We think the word prostitution is a little nasty, mm-hmm. but we look at this just as a way to build your retirement fund.
Yes. And now how do we segue into... how do we segue into things that are coming up?
Well, I want you to rest for a minute.
We have 5 minutes left. I got to do my...
I know, because I'm going to ask Paul and Karen a question.
Okay, one more question, and then we'll get into the end of station announcements.
Go ahead. Because I love movies as well, and have always loved movies. Now, are you a writer as well, as a screenwriter? Are there things that you want to produce yourself?
There are. It's tough to find... It's tough to find the time, as you probably know, to do something really big. So in the meantime, I've got a lot of little things done. Mm-hmm. You know, I've done some short films, and we do this podcast, and that requires a lot of writing. We create about 40 minutes of new content every month.
Wow.
Which I don't know what stand-ups do for, you know, in a month, but that's because they make new movies. And then we got to take all that material and go, next, new movies. This is a whole new month. So we just covered all the August movies and wrote a whole bunch of stuff and realized by the time I was done, I haven't gotten that screenplay yet. But I hope to. You know, and so now I think we're going to work on a script about people having trouble writing a screenplay, because that's something now that we know a heck of a lot about.
We know a lot about that. So,
And it's great that you guys work together. My husband and I have, and not my gay husband, my husband, he and I worked on a movie, but you did too. You were there. You were starring and you were the wardrobe suit. But it's interesting you guys work so well together.
You know, I find that it's easiest to work with Paul because we have a shortcut. A lot of things you don't even need to really finish the thought. The other person already understands it. We already know what all of our strengths are. Whenever we do the Movie Guys show, we usually end with a big song, and I'll usually put that parody together because that's something that I excel at. And then he'll do all of the intros and connecting the scenes together and the sketches together. I am great at props. He is great at doing the video editing. So we have a lot of strengths that we can use together.
And you have an album.
Yes, I do. I just put together a country album of 8 original country songs by my friend Chuck Pelletier, and it's on CD Baby, so you can go there and look for Karen Volpe.
Excellent.
Amazon, too, I believe. Right?
Yeah, you can go to KarenVolpe.com, and it'll tell you way too much about me, so you can go there.
Excellent. Do you ever have a chance where you two just get away from everything?
No.
Yes.
No. When?
Once a year.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Karen's favorite thing in the world.
You're going to love this.
What?
We go on the greatest thing ever.
What?
It's called Kayamo. It's a cruise. It's a week long. And Lyle Lovett is a headliner.
Oh, wow.
Okay, here's the thing. It's a boat.
Right.
There's only 2,000 people.
Right.
Lyle Lovett's on it.
Yeah.
And all I do is try to find where he is. And he can't go anywhere. It's a boat. So eventually we hang out. It's the greatest thing in the world. I look forward to that.
It's a big singer-songwriter group. We've seen, I mean, Emmylou Harris was on there.
Oh,
Brandi
cool.
Carlisle's on there routinely. Indigo Girls.
Civil
Steve
Wars.
Earle. Yeah, it's crazy.
Cool.
They all got out
How
there,
fun.
And it's floating music festival.
It's amazing.
We plan on that every year.
That's our thing.
We don't veer from that.
Does it leave from L.A. or does it leave from...
Miami.
Miami.
Okay.
Look at them.
See?
Well, themovieguys.net, folks. Check them out. And when is your show? Please tell us.
Well, it's the first Thursday of every month, but we have a show tomorrow.
Big show tomorrow for
Wednesday?
Comedy Central.
At the, the Comedy Central stage at the Hudson, and that is 6539 Santa Monica Boulevard. I bring that up to everybody because if you're in the L.A. area, it is free.
Free show. They like to have new comedians and sketch comedy groups come in there, and then they focus on them.
Awesome.
And it's going to be a best of show covering stuff from May, June, and July. So,
excellent.
If you've seen the movies, if you haven't, you know, either way, it's going to be fun for you. We're going to come down and goof on them all.
Delicious.
Excellent. And a couple things that are coming up for us.
Yes, Mayor.
Tom Cotter, who was in America's Got Talent.
Oh, from last week.
From last week, a comic friend of mine from New York made it to the semifinals.
Yay,
everybody,
Tom.
Thank you, O'Mary fans, for voting. Friday, August 17th, Paul and Mary will be at the Katie Love Show in Flappers Burbank.
Yes, indeed.
At 7:30 p.m. Call or email me, but email me at mary@omaryshow.com for comps. We have only 4.
That's right.
And if you email me, and you can get them if you're first to email me. And then, O'Mary listeners, you will always get 2-for-1 tickets at the door. And next week, guys, we have Allie Willis.
Yay.
Who, Beverly Hills Cop, Color Purple. She wrote music for that, of course.
She wrote September for Earth, Wind & Fire.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing. We love her.
Great song.
And her choreographer, Keith Young, will be in the house.
Yes, indeed. Talking about her new show.
They're redoing September.
I know.
Isn't that exciting?
We were born on the 21st night of September. Or not born. Our marriage was born. That's our anniversary.
The 21st
night of September.
It's also Bill Murray's birthday.
Oh, there it is.
See? And then on July 31st, Michelle Patterson is coming from the California Women's Conference. Donna Karen will be there, by the way.
Absolutely.
And they're focusing on the body, the self, the family, the business, the world, the conference. And she's going to be in studio July 31st. And we're just so glad you're here.
Would you come and play with us again?
Absolutely. It went by as if it were, you know, a needle in a sandwich very quickly.
Flew by. And one last thing, because I told Bruce Valanche's people we do this. Oh, Wednesday and Thursday, July 18th and 19th, which is tomorrow and Thursday for our East Coast listeners, the Mansion of Saratoga presents Bruce Valanche right near the legendary track in upstate New York at 8 o'clock. And then August 5th, he will be teaming up with who?
Whoopi Goldberg.
Thank you.
Imagine the two of them.
I know. Fun. Town Hall, Provincetown on Cape Cod. Two shows, 7 and 9:30 p.m. And I'm Mary Kennedy.
And I'm Paul Jasek.
And Paul.
Yes, my dear.
You're looking fabulous.
You look terrific.
And happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Let's do it next week.
Yes, we will. And Karen Volpe and Paul
Bye,
Preston.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks so much. It's time for the Oh Mary Show here on LA Talk Radio with Miss Mary Kennedy.
And Mr. Paul Jason.
Indeed.
Am I gay approved?
Not today. Yeah. That doesn't even be a straight man not approving. You kind of look like you crawled through wreckage.
You said I look like I'm shucking lobsters.
What's that smell?